Well, it's probably, you probably know, Ben's away today. He and John Church are over in Wales doing the Dragon Ride, which if you've read the Church magazine, you'll understand about that. So they set off about 8:30 this morning, was their start time, and it should take about 6 hours. And then they'll be completely and utterly exhausted by the end of it. I spoke to Ben this morning, and as he was going into the car park, queuing up, and he said it was a gorgeous day. It was beautiful, blue sky, sunshine, apart from where they were, where it was tipping down, and there was thunder clouds all around. So hopefully the weather's going to improve as they go around. But, yeah, keep them in your prayers. We'll see how they go. Let me pray as we set the tone this morning. Father God, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be amongst friends and family, united in our belief and love of you. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit, this morning, and ask that as we draw together around your word and worshiping you, that you would move our spirits, that you would speak to our hearts and minds, doing whatever it is that you want to do with us today. We just ask that you would have your way and that you would indeed be glorified today in all that we do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So, have you seen a picture like this before? What do you see? You see an old lady. Anybody see anything different? A young lady. Can anybody see both? Can anybody not see both? Can you see an old lady and a young lady, if you look carefully? So the old lady, the necklace around the young lady, that's the old lady's mouth. Can you see it? Yeah? You know, somebody's called this picture my wife or my mother-in-law. What about this one? Let's try the next one. What do you see? Somebody said a monkey. Yeah, there's a monkey there. Yeah, big cat. Yeah, you can see the mouth on the left-hand side, and then the monkey's holding the branch in the middle. It's cool, isn't it? I love it. What about, we've got one more. Okay, let's go through the circles. What's in the first circle? 12. Second circle? 23. Third circle? 22. Fourth? 27. Fifth? 26. Can anybody not see anything in any of the circles? Steve?
I can see the first one, and that's it.
Yeah, anybody else? This is a colour blindness test. So Ben struggles to see some of these. But it's interesting because we're all looking at the same thing, but we can see different things. Optical illusions or perspective. That's true in life as well, isn't it? We can be experiencing the same things, but understand it differently, see it differently. I'll give you an example. You probably know the footpath over the M25 at the bottom of Ongar Place School is closed just now. Is anybody aware of that? It's annoying, isn't it? Oh my goodness, so that's our normal route to school. So we walk up Liberty Lane and then over the footbridge and then we're at school. But now that it's closed, we have to go the long route. So we have to go all the way past St. Paul's, over the motorway bridge, down up the Ongar Hill, past Holy Family, and all the way down again. And it adds about a half mile to the journey. And trying to get the kids out in the morning anyway is difficult, isn't it? But then to leave earlier in order to meet the journey is just a nightmare. Stress. I could think of it that way. Or I could think, do you know what? This is a good thing. This is enforced exercise. This is an opportunity for me to get fitter. And I have to do it, so why not embrace it and just get fit and enjoy the journey? It's another example you might relate to. When your child is off sick, it's a pain, isn't it? Because you've had stuff planned. You had your day planned out. You might have chores to do. You might want to go shopping. You might have arranged to meet a friend for coffee. You might have had to take a day off work because your child's off, and you know they're going to be grumpy, and you know it's going to be an effort, and everything has to go on hold, and it's tough, isn't it? Anybody relate to that experience? But it is tough and it is stressful, but I could choose to look at it a different way. I could choose to think, do you know what? I'm not going to be able to do everything I wanted to do today, but I've got an opportunity to spend one-on-one time with my child. And I've got a chance that I didn't think I was going to have to show this little one how much I love them and to care for them and to spend time with them and get to know them a bit better, let them know that they are loved for, cared for. Just depends how I choose to look at it. You can choose to get stressed out, or you can choose not to. You can choose to let your life be interrupted and it be a negative thing. You can choose what attitude you have, can't you? It's all about perspective, isn't it? The same is true spiritually. We can make a choice as how we view life. And our choices should be based not on our circumstances that can change from second to second, not on the shifting sands of our emotions, because our feelings go up and down and we can't trust them. But our choices should be based on the solid truth of the person of Jesus Christ. His unchanging goodness, his faithfulness, his dependability. You see, how we view God shapes how we view our circumstances. If we believe that life is a trial, it's a trial of endurance, a bit like the dragon race, and our relationship with Jesus, yeah, it's good for eternal life, but actually, does it have much impact on how we live our lives from day to day? If that's how you view your faith and your relationship with Jesus, then do you know what? Your glass is always going to be half empty. You're always going to be subdued and overcome by the stuff that life throws at you. You'll never live in the fullness of life that God has promised in John 10. You'll never be that overcomer, that more than conquerors that Romans speaks of. But if we can learn to live with grateful hearts, believing, or at least choosing to believe, that God is good, that he is working good out of all things in the lives of those who love him, according to his purposes, then we can know without a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing that's going to come across our path that God can't use to shape us into his image and to bring him glory. Graham Cook once said, "It's so easy to see circumstances only in the context of the difficulties they contain. But God sees the provisions that he has made available to us." Let's read that again. It's so easy to see circumstances only in the context of the difficulties they contain. But God sees the provisions that he has made available to us. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that just flip it round? I think that's amazing. God has got at his disposal infinite resources, boundless creativity, and an inbuilt, outrageous desire to bless us and to love us. So all these trials of life that we face, they're nothing to him, nothing to him, apart from an opportunity to show off and show what he can do. His desire is for us to trust him, to trust him more with each challenge that life faces so that he can do more. Turning setbacks into comebacks is a speciality of the Holy Spirit. Now, you all know the story of Joshua and Caleb, don't you? So Moses sent out 12 spies into the promised land to suss out whether it was a good place to go or not. I chose one from each tribe, sent them out for about 40 days, and said, "Find out what you can, report back to me." So the spies went off, Came back after 40 days, and they were like, oh my goodness, this place is amazing. The fields are bountiful. The harvest is huge and ripe and glorious. It's just everything that God promised it was going to be. But the people who live there are strong and powerful. They're huge. They're like giants. We can't conquer this land. So the word spread around the people of Israel, and fear got hold of them. And that fear was contagious, and it spread amongst them. And they started grumbling and moaning, Lord, why did you bring us here? You brought us out of Egypt only to die in this place. It'd be better if we were back in slavery. Does that not sound like us sometimes? Lord, we've done everything. We go to church, we tithe, we pray, we read our scriptures, and then stuff happens. So what is the point? Grumble, grumble, moan, moan. 12 men went into Canaan. And they all saw the same things, but only two of them saw from God's perspective. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, don't be afraid. The Lord is with us. There's another story in the Old Testament about a prophet called Elisha. And he was a wanted man. The king was after him and had managed to pin him down. And he was surrounded by the enemy army. They were camped all around him. There was no way out. It was an impossible situation. And his servant was terrified. And he said, oh, master, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha simply said, don't be afraid. There are more on our side than on theirs. Well, you can imagine what the servant thought. What is he talking about? Has he had too much sun today? There's nobody out there. It's just us against them. So Elisha prayed. And all he said was, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Open his eyes that he might see. And the servant looked again. And he saw a heavenly host camped around them, between them and the enemy. Horses, chariots of fire, the armies of heaven. Two people looking at the same situation, seeing two different things. You see, Elisha didn't need to see the proof that God was with him, that God was working out his purposes. He knew the character of his God, and he trusted him. He saw things from God's perspective. He chose to align his thinking with God's. It's a song I've been listening to. It's been going around in my head for about a year now. And there's a line in it that says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we face life and all that it throws at us. We choose to look from God's perspective. We see through his eyes. Friends, you know that nothing can separate you from God's love. You know that God has to be faithful to his character, otherwise he'd be a liar and then he couldn't be God. So God is always good. And we can trust him to bring good out of all things. If only we've got the eyes to see. We can embrace life knowing that each mountain that we face is just an opportunity for God to reveal more of himself to us, to do more through us, to do more for us. An opportunity for us to embrace the way that God likes to do things, going deeper with him in the process. Only then can we join with the psalmist saying, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Are we? So the question is, whose perspective am I going to view life from? God's or my own earthly, sinful, twisted perspective? I can tell you what the better answer is. The one that's more adventurous, a little bit scary, but the one that's dependent on a good God, bringing good out of all things for those who love him, according to his purposes. Let's pray. Lord, help us to remember that you are good. When life hits us, help us to remember that nothing is impossible for you. That you want to show us more of your power at work in our lives. That we are more than overcomers. That nothing can separate us from your love and your goodness. That you can work through all things to bring good out according to your purposes. Help us to trust you more. Help us to take that little bit, that little step of trust today as we think about the stuff that's going on in our lives, the stuff that's hard, the stuff that's unexpected, the stuff that hurts. Lord, we're not denying the reality of those things. But we're choosing to hand them to you and take a step back and say, Lord, what does this look like to you? Show me your perspective. Show me how to look at this so that good can come from it. This is how we fight our battles. And Lord, you've told us that you fight on our behalf to help us to stand in the middle of life and trust you and your goodness. Help us not to be afraid because we know that you're with us. Open our eyes and let us see. It's a challenge, Lord, but with you, all things are possible, and you don't leave us on your own. Your Spirit works within us, empowering us, giving us courage, helping us to have joy and peace and laughter and strength. And so I bless these people this morning, Lord, in your name. I bless them in the name of Jesus that they would know your peace and empowering in their lives. That you would open their eyes that they might see how you are working on their behalf. That their relationships with you would grow stronger and more trusting. And they would see and testify to your goodness in the here and now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.